From the Finger Lakes region of upstate New York, welcome to another hour of sounds from radio's golden era. It's the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. Today, we have an episode of the NBC Radio Theater. This was a daily dramatic presentation that ran on NBC Radio in 1959, and it was produced and directed by Hyman Brown, who is probably best known for such series as The Inner Sanctum, The Thin Man, and the CBS Radio Mystery Theater in the 70s and 80s. This broadcast stars, among others, Mason Adams, George Petrie, and Celeste Holm. From April 29th, 1959, this is the NBC Radio Theater's presentation of The Believers.
Celeste Holm stars on the NBC Radio Theater.
The story I have to tell, must tell, will seem strange in this day and age. But you need to understand that I was brought up from childhood to believe that my name, Anne Tilden, was cursed and therefore could never know a normal and happy life.
The NBC Radio Theater, a complete hour of drama every day, Monday through Friday, starring Eddie Albert, Lee Bowman, Madeline Carroll, Gloria De Haven, and today starring Celeste Holm in The Believers. Our drama begins in a moment, but first, hear this.
It's National Dreams Are Made of Jell-O and Dream Whip Week.
Tell everybody you know, and don't let the week go by without J-E-L-L-O.
This is Don Wilson dreaming of Jell-O and Dream Whip, the new whip topping from a mix. Pile Dream Whip on top of your favorite shimmering Jell-O flavors. Fold it into dreamy Jell-O recipes. Mmm, serve Jell-O and Dream Whip this week.
J-E-L-L-O.
For the longest time, I fought against this fear my mother had pushed into me. And a year ago, I had the courage to leave her, to come into the city to work. Oh, that day is branded in my mind.
Anne, dear, this is foolish. It's no use.
Mother, I've made up my mind.
Oh, can't you understand? Staying here with me in Bar Towers, this is your destiny.
I refuse to believe it.
Anne, dear, if you could run away from our history, if by leaving here you could start a new life, full of promise and hope, I'd be the first one to let you go. But it doesn't matter where you go off to. The black name of Tilden still goes with you. And that you can't run away from.
I won't believe it. I won't give in to it.
It's useless. When I was younger, I tried to fight against this curse. But I was beating my head against a wall. Why not learn from my mistake?
Because you're not me. And I'm not convinced that we're a family doomed just because our ancestors were killers and cutthroats. What they were has nothing to do with me.
Their blood runs through your veins, through mine.
Stop it. I won't listen to such talk. It's right out of the Middle Ages.
Well, then explain to me the death of your father.
It was a fantastic kind of an accident.
Exactly. At least 50 other people were on that city street at the time, but only your father's body got in the way of a bullet that seemed to fall right out of the sky.
Nothing fell out of the sky. They found the boy who fired the rifle. It was a crazy accident.
But the boy was only the instrument through which our history destroyed your father.
Oh, Mother, I'm going to the city, and I intend to find a job there. I intend to work.
A waste of time and energy.
I've got to leave this miserable house that smells of death.
You can't. It'll follow you everywhere.
Maybe it won't.
Oh? And why not?
I'll change my name.
Oh, how you delude yourself.
I mean, legally.
Marriage?
Why not?
You tell me why not, Anne. I'm sure you haven't forgotten Harlow. He was a nice boy, and perhaps you might have found happiness with him. But what happened? He went off to Korea, and at his first battle, killed.
Please, Mother.
And then there was Ned. Poor Ned. I can still see you waiting at the station for the train to arrive. And then the news came about the accident.
Mother, please stop reminding me of these things.
Well, don't you see? I only do it to make you realize that fighting this curse is useless. Mm-hmm. The die was cast long before either of us was born. Our family black name began with murder. It's gone through five generations. We must suffer in silence.
No. I can't let myself believe that. I just can't. And I did come to the city. I found a job as a typist in an office. I didn't care what kind of a job it was, nor did I need the money. All I was interested in was living among people, live, real people, not shadows attached to the past.
Is this seat taken?
No.
Fine. You mind if I sit here?
No, of course not.
Rough finding an empty seat in the cafeteria.
Yes.
And when you find one, you got to rush for it, too. I said when you find one, you got to...
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, of course.
But everything's that way in the city. Too many people and not enough things to go around.
Excuse me.
No, wait a minute. Don't go.
What? I beg your pardon?
You don't know how long I've been trying to find an empty seat at your table.
What?
Oh, there's no sense lying about it. It's true. You're Ann Tilden, aren't you?
How did you know my name?
We work in the same office.
Oh.
Of course, it's a pretty big office, and I suppose you could go a lifetime in it without ever getting to know a quarter of the people who work there with you, but that's how things go everywhere in the city. Isn't that so?
Yes, I suppose so.
You didn't know I worked there, did you?
No.
Well, I know you do. Why? Because I've noticed you, and because I wanted to meet you.
I see.
You're not angry, are you?
Angry? No. Why should I be angry?
Well, because it's almost like a pickup, you know?
Oh, no, I don't feel that way at all.
Oh, I'm glad you don't. Because I surely wouldn't want to give that impression.
Well, after all, we do work in the same office.
That's right, we do.
But it doesn't hurt being neighborly.
I'm in absolute agreement. Look, I'll only be a minute. Would you wait, and we can walk back to the office together?
I'll be glad to wait.
In just a moment, Celeste Holm will continue with The Believers, today's drama on the NBC Radio Theater.
Hi, folks. This is Count Basie. You know, I've played a lot at colleges in the United Negro College Fund, and this is where I got a chance to really see just what a fine job the fund is doing, training these youngsters to be scientists, teachers, ministers, and businessmen, and helping these ambitious young people to realize their dreams for a fine education. There are 33 private colleges supported by the United Negro College Fund. And I'd like to mention that some of the men in my band also come from some of these colleges. All of these add up to reasons why, I ask you, give to the United Negro College Fund Appeal. The address is 22 East 54th Street, New York, 22, New York. Thank you.
I've been living simply, working, hardly ever going anywhere. Oh, I suppose the reason for this aloneness had to do with my mother's ideas. Because even though I talked myself into doubting what she believed, still there was a fear inside of me.
Anne?
Hmm?
Come back here to the street beside me.
Huh? I'm sorry, Bill. I was off on a flight.
You do that pretty well, you know.
Do what?
Go off on flights.
Oh, I don't mean to drift away.
I've got a feeling something's troubling you.
Oh, now, you're just reading your own thoughts into my actions.
Well, if I'm not, I'd certainly like to know what does bother you. Maybe I can help.
You're very sweet, Bill. You really are.
I guess I can't help it with you.
Please, Bill, don't.
No, wait a minute. Let's sit down here a minute.
Let's not get serious.
Okay, not serious, just realistic.
All right.
I know hardly anything at all about you.
Well, there's nothing much to know. I come from a small New England town about 200 miles from here.
Well, that's statistics, facts. I'm not interested in that.
Oh? No, there isn't anything else to tell.
And why these flights off into some other world, for one thing? And why, whenever I ask you about your family, you clam up?
Bill, please, I said nothing serious.
But I've told you everything about myself. Whatever there is to tell about an orphan boy with no family, no relatives I care to remember. No, nothing but what I can find and make for myself.
Yes. Yes, I know. And for a young man who must have lived terrible moments of loneliness, I think you're a very outgoing person. Not shy, like me.
Does that mean you have no family either?
No. Oh, no. Not at all.
I see. I was kind of hoping maybe you didn't have.
Why?
It would be only one more reason why I feel the way I do about you.
Oh, no, Bill, please don't say it.
Now, isn't that silly?
You can't understand why, and I can't explain. Just believe me when I say, don't tell me how you feel.
I tell you all the time. Perhaps not with words, but certainly the way I look at you. The concern I have for you, you've got to see that.
Yes. Nevertheless, I'd rather you didn't put into actual words what you feel about me.
Why not?
Please don't ask me.
Why? Is there some deep, dark secret?
But I just can't explain it to you, that's all.
Well, then tell me what the secret is, and I won't ask
why. Can't you understand? I can't explain. I just don't know how. Please, Bill.
Angry with me?
No, not really. Sorry if I sounded abrupt.
Forget it. I can be annoying, can't
I? No, don't say that. I'm sure if anyone can be annoying, it must be me.
That you can never be. To me.
Bill and I saw a good deal of each other, and I knew he'd fallen in love with me. But I wasn't in love with him. I don't know why, really. Except... perhaps I was afraid. Afraid that my love for anyone placed their lives in jeopardy. And in fact, it's quite possible. I might have been right about that because... well, I could hardly find fault with Bill about anything. There was one thing he did that troubled me deeply. Bill!
What?
You're going too fast.
Well, I'm only doing 80.
It's much too fast.
Come on, it's a great feeling. Don't you feel it?
Bill, please.
Look at the way the world races by. Boy, this is the way to move.
Bill, watch out!
Wait.
You almost hit that dog. You almost hit that dog.
It came out of nowhere.
You were going too fast. Much too fast.
Oh, I'm sorry, Anne. I really am. Forgive me.
I can't stand such speeds. It's just too fast for me. You must have hit over 90.
I'm sorry. I'll never do it again with you in the car, I promise.
Poor Bill. It was really his one vice, speeding. I couldn't tell him why. It was impossible for me to be in the same car with him when he did. In fact, there were so few things I felt free to tell Bill Dennis. Oh, perhaps I'm sorry for that today.
Anne, I must talk to you.
Are you getting serious again?
I can't help it. It's come down to this now. It had to.
No, Bill, it doesn't have to come down to anything.
But you're all I've got. There isn't anyone else, no one in the world but you. I feel like I've never known another woman, not even another human being.
No, Bill. Oh, I'm sorry you feel that way about me. I really am.
You must know what I want to ask you.
I do, of course, but I'd rather you didn't say it.
Oh, Anne, I've tried to live up to your wishes, but I can't. I feel nothing until I'm with you. I mope around all day. I hear nothing, see nothing, read nothing. I just can't go on this way.
Oh, poor Bill.
It doesn't have to be that. If only
don't,
you...
Don't say it.
Anne, I've got to.
I beg you, please don't.
Marry me, Anne.
No.
Please marry me.
Please don't ask me.
I have asked. And I'll continue to ask.
Anne,
you're crying. Does that mean you will marry me?
I can't.
You can't?
Never. I can't ever marry you.
Anne.
Oh, Bill.
will forgive me. I asked you not to force me into saying this.
But never. Why never?
Leave me. It's better this way.
Never? Goodbye, Ed.
No! Bill, don't rush off this way. Bill! Bill!
The NBC Radio Theater continues with The Believers in a moment. But first...
No oily aftertaste, no oily aftertaste. Now there's a margarine.
Good, that's the margarine.
With no oily aftertaste.
Today's good luck is the light margarine. Light in flavor, light on your tongue. Just like the high-priced spread. Lever Brothers has world rights to the process that makes good luck different from other margarines. It's light. Guaranteed to leave no oily aftertaste or your money back.
No oily aftertaste. Good luck, good luck, good luck, good luck.
Bill Dennis was gone. I knew I'd hurt him deeply. And yet I felt I had spared his life. How much? We don't know. 2 hours passed. I'd fallen asleep on the couch when my doorbell rang.
Oh, just a moment, please.
A man stood there. A man in a small brimmed hat, heavy, red-faced. And fear gripped me.
Anna Tilden?
Yes.
I'm Detective Bike.
Detective?
Sorry, I got some bad news.
Oh. What is it?
You know, ma'am, by the name of William Dennis?
No.
Your name was the only name we found in his wallet to be notified in case of an emergency.
Emergency? Oh, dear God, what happened? What happened?
William Dennis has been killed in an auto accident.
I blame myself for what had happened to Bill. He'd gone out of my flat hurt and depressed. And because of that, he'd been racing. I didn't go to work the next day. I just couldn't stand the thought of returning to that office. In fact, I decided to quit, look for another job, or possibly return home to my mother, to that dark, foreboding house. Because, well... the curse that hung over the name of Tilden seemed to be working again. That morning, I had an unexpected caller. Yes?
Miss Ann Tilden?
Yes.
My name is Jeff Bowers. I'm with the Globe Insurance Company.
Insurance company?
I'm a claims adjuster.
What have you got to do with me?
You knew William Dennis?
Oh, yes. I see. It has to do with his insurance?
You're listed as his beneficiary.
I?
May I come in?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
Didn't you know that William Dennis listed you as his beneficiary?
No. This is the first I've heard of it.
He changed it about a month and a half, 2 months ago. I suppose he didn't get around to telling you.
He didn't.
Well, that's unimportant. The fact is, you're his beneficiary.
Oh.
And, well, what's wrong? Did I say something?
No, I'm sorry. I just can't help it.
I didn't mean to upset you.
It's not your fault. It's just that... well, naming me his beneficiary... you see, he had no one. He was an orphan. And he was in love with me.
I see you were to be married.
No, that's just the point.
Sorry, I don't follow you.
He asked me to marry him, and I turned him down.
I see.
No, you don't see.
I think I do. The accident must have happened after he left you.
Yes, but then you see, you don't understand. I killed him.
What's that?
I refused him. And then he went out and killed himself.
Oh, you mean that way.
Well, isn't it the same as if I drove him to his death?
Well, now, Miss Tilden, strictly speaking, no. Morally speaking, well, that's your problem. But if you don't mind my saying, I think that you're putting all the guilt upon yourself needlessly.
I can't help it. It's too close to be coincidental.
Well, we'll investigate and let you know.
Investigate what?
Well, just in the normal course of events and these things, we have to investigate.
Then investigate the fact that Bill Dennis marked the third man in my life who asked me to marry him and then was killed in some accident.
I beg your pardon?
Bill is the third man in my life who asked me to marry him and was killed soon after.
You're not serious, are you?
Why wouldn't I be serious?
Well, it's a little fantastic, isn't it?
Mm. It's fantastic, but it's true.
Look, I know that you're a little upset. Suppose that I come back later this afternoon. We'll talk about this thing a little more, all right?
Whatever you say, Mr. Bowers.
Today's drama on the NBC Radio Theater, starring Celeste Holm, continues in a moment. 10 years ago, many free countries in Europe lost their independence. Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Poland, and many others. And the communists established a strangling blockade around a shining outpost of Western civilization behind the Iron Curtain, Berlin. But the Western allies stood together. Their airlift saved Berlin. Joining with other friendly countries, they established NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, and made it clear that an attack on one of them would be regarded as an attack on all. And since NATO, not one inch of territory in the Atlantic area has been lost to the communists. Now NATO is 10 years old, and again the communists are threatening world peace in Berlin and elsewhere. Help our country and its 14 NATO allies to speak with one voice in defense of your freedom. Support NATO. Learn the facts. Write NATO, Box 88, New York 21, New York.
Well, Miss Tilden.
Hello, Mr. Bowers. Come in, please.
Thank you.
Can I get you something, a drink, please?
No, thanks, nothing at all. You look a lot better than you did this morning.
I feel better, thank you.
Sure you do. Of course, when you said something about Mr. Dennis being the third man who was killed because he asked to marry you, I kind of thought...
That's true.
Now, Miss Tilden.
No, that's true. And matter of fact, I begged Bill not to ask me to marry him. I knew, of course, that he was going to, but I couldn't stop him.
Miss Tilden, you can't possibly believe what you're saying.
Well, I'm trying not to. The truth is, that's exactly what's happened in my past life.
Three men who asked you to marry them were killed afterwards?
One in Korea, one in a train accident, and now Bill.
But that's incredible.
Incredible or not, it's the truth.
I mean, not in this day and age, for heaven's sake.
I'm not going to argue with you about it.
Well, I don't mean to be arguing, but you must understand how ridiculous... I mean, how fantastic it all sounds.
I said I don't intend to argue about it, Mr. Bowers. I'm the one who stuck with what happened. I'm the one who has to live with it.
Yeah, but why make things so much more difficult for yourself?
What do you mean?
I mean, you feel guilty about William Dennis, all right, but don't go around feeling that bad luck follows you every step you go.
Mr. Bowers, tell me what you need of me, and I will not detain you any longer.
Yes, I'm sorry. Well, Miss Tilden, since you are the sole beneficiary of Mr. William Dennis's insurance, and since you're not related, that... Miss Tilden, will you answer a question for me?
About the insurance?
No, personal question. I'm just bothered by what you've told me.
All right, what is it?
Where are you from?
A small town in New England.
You lived there all your life?
Yes, in a big, dark, foreboding house.
Is that where you learned to think the way you do?
I'd rather you got to the business at hand.
Yeah, but I can't. My mind keeps hopping back to what you said. I just can't believe that in the 20th century, 1959, anybody still believes things like this.
I'm sorry, Mr. Bowers. Again, I say I'm sorry. I just don't want to discuss it anymore.
Okay, all right. Then may I ask a favor?
Please, Mr. Bowers.
No, really. It's a small favor.
All right.
Have dinner with me.
What?
Have dinner with me tonight.
And now, the NBC Radio Theater, starring Celeste Holm, continues.
But
never even met.
Sure we have. I walked in here and introduced myself, all very prim and proper. And you introduced yourself to me. Now, what do you say?
Why should you want to?
The truth?
Yes, of course.
I'm curious to see if what you say is true about yourself.
I don't think you've got anything further to say to me, Mr. Bowers, so please leave.
Look, don't get mad. I know it sounds like an experimental thing, but look at it this way. The feelings that you've got, now, they must be a hangover from something. Something that somebody pushed into you ever since you were a little girl. I mean, how else could a grown woman believe these things?
All right, Mr. Bowers, you've had your say. Good day.
Can't you see I'm trying to make you prove to me that what you say is true? I'm willing to be the guinea pig, but I don't think it's much of a gamble, really. Because I'm sure that we'll spend a nice, pleasant evening together. What have you got to lose?
It isn't what I've got to lose, Mr. Bowers.
Okay, that's what I want to find out. Come have dinner with me. Besides, I'm sure that you feel bad enough as it is, and you could use a night out.
Offer's very tempting, Mr. Bowers.
Good. Pick you up about 7:30?
7:30. I'll be waiting. I know, of course, what made me decide to go to dinner with Jeff Bowers. He was big and strong-looking. Somehow I felt in his presence a strength and determination I'd never felt with anyone else. Not Harlow, not Ned, not even Bill. It seemed to me that Jeff Bowers was a man who would not be afraid of anything. I felt confidence in him that, well, it made me feel momentarily strong.
Well, still around.
I'd say you're very well around, Mr. Bowers. If you held me any tighter, I wouldn't be able to dance.
Oh, I'm sorry. How's that?
Better. Much better.
I think we make a very strikingly pleasant couple.
Pleasant? Such a dull word. Quite passive.
Okay, strikingly, striking.
You're silly.
Well, it's fun being silly once in a while, right?
Delicious.
In my job, I get enough tears and pain. At night, I want to laugh.
Honestly. No. I don't know when I've laughed as much as I have tonight.
You're not sorry you came with me?
No. No. I'm just glad you talked me into it.
Well, let's get back to our table.
You lead. I'll follow.
Watch that piano up above on the platform. It looks kind of shaky. Hey, watch out!
Jeff!
Jeff! Hey!
Jeff! Jeff, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm okay.
But that piano missed you by inches.
Oh, boy. It
would have crushed
you. No. Don't be silly.
I'm not being silly. I'm being realist. I'm being very coldly realistic. I'll go home by myself, Jeff.
Oh, now, Ann.
Please, I don't want you taking me home.
Okay, but I'll follow in a cab.
In just a moment, Celeste Holm continues with The Believers. But first, hear this.
Constipation is something people don't talk much about, but it can be a problem for anyone, even doctors. And when constipation occurs, it's interesting to see just what doctors consider important about a laxative they might use or recommend. Now, a majority of the doctors we heard from had this to say. A laxative should be effective, gentle, as close to natural acting as possible, and a medicine that can be used with complete confidence. Well, pleasant-tasting chocolated Ex-Lax is effective. Overnight, it helps you toward your normal regularity. Ex-Lax is gentle. Next morning, it gives you the closest thing to natural action. And that's why many doctors and millions of people use Ex-Lax with complete confidence. Ex-Lax, the laxative that helps you toward your normal regularity gently, overnight.
Is Ex-Lax in your medicine cabinet?
Won't you change your mind?
Jeff, I'm sorry. I'm terribly sorry, but it just isn't any use.
Really, you've made much more out of this than actually happened.
It's only a prelude to what will happen if I stay around you any longer.
Well, all right, but you don't have to go home.
The only place to go, my mother was right. It doesn't make sense. Anywhere else in this world.
Yeah, but that was such a freakish accident, Anne. It wouldn't happen again in a million years.
Did I ever tell you about the freakish accident that killed my father? Oh, what's the use? What's freakish for others is only norm. The norm for me. Goodbye, Jeff.
Please change your mind.
I can't.
We were getting along so well.
It's only a camouflage.
Yeah, but I want to know you better.
You've known me as much as you ever will. Goodbye, Jeff.
Oh, Anne. No, Anne, come back.
Goodbye, Jeff. Goodbye.
Now you're being sensible, Anne.
Yes, Mother.
Well, don't sound so sad about it. You'll see how much better things will be for you here.
I hope so.
It has to be. Here with me, you won't have a chance to meet poor young men like this Bill Dennis. Incidentally, what do you intend to do with his money?
I don't know. Give it to charity, I suppose.
There isn't a relative anywhere.
Not that I know of.
Then some deserving charity will be the proper thing to do. Why don't you lie down before dinner? You look quite tired.
I am.
Anne?
Yes, Mother.
Don't you really think now that I've been right?
Yes, Mother.
I'm glad, dear. I'm glad you finally came to your senses.
Yes, Mother. Time passed, days passed, this way, slow, endless, deadly boring time. Day faded into night, and night faded back into day, so smoothly, so quietly. Strange thing began to happen. I no longer noticed the difference. There was only one thing I enjoyed, and it was a walk into the village once a week. I had a chance to do some shopping on one of these excursions into the village, breath of fresh air, came back into my life.
Morning, Miss Tilden.
Good morning, Mrs. Green.
In for your weekly shopping?
Yes. This time I thought I'd splurge a little bit.
Fine. And if I may say so, I'm glad to see you a bit perked up. Oh, by the way, there was someone in yesterday.
Hmm?
Yesterday? No, this morning. Whatever is the matter with me. This morning, yes. Someone was in asking about you.
About me?
A stranger.
A stranger?
At least I've never seen him around here before.
A man?
Handsome man, too. Big, strong-looking.
Did he say what his name was?
No. Just asked a heap of questions about you and your mother. Of course, I didn't tell him anything.
Did he say where he was staying?
No, I guess he's at the hotel, unless he knows someone in town.
Thank you, Mrs. Green. Of course, I knew it had to be Jeff Bowers. I went toward the hotel. I hoped it wasn't, yet I hoped it was. Turned out to be Jeff Bowers, all right.
I was wondering when you'd find me.
Well, the trail you left around town couldn't possibly be ignored.
Come on, Anne, you wouldn't ignore me. Be honest.
When did you arrive?
Last night.
Lost no time asking questions about me.
And finding out absolutely nothing. Typical New England closed-mouthedness. But there's a good library here and some interesting books on history and lore of the area.
I see.
Quite a collection of cutthroats and thieves and robber barons in that Tilden family.
Please, Jeff, please. Don't make fun of it.
You know, I think if you'd look at that family background of yours objectively, you'd be apt to make fun of them, too. And I'll tell you a little secret about that. Nothing deflates the folklore, the past history, the tradition with a capital T so much as poking fun at it. When you look at the past with perspective and not with fear.
What brought you here, Jeff?
You?
Be serious.
I am being serious. You brought me here.
Well, then you can go right home again.
Sorry, I'm on vacation. 2 weeks.
Well, you come to a ridiculous place to spend it.
I'll tell the Chamber of Commerce on you.
Jeff, be serious, please.
No, I've no intention of being serious. And my word of advice, you stop being so serious, too.
Well, if you can't talk sensibly, I must leave.
All right, okay. I'm up here for two reasons. I'm on vacation, so help me. And I want to know what you intend to do with Dennis's money.
With a foundling home, I'd like you to give the money to. I'll send you the address.
Why don't we go up to your house right now and you can give...
Don't be silly.
Silly?
You can't come to my home.
Why not?
We just can't, that's all.
Any particular reason?
No particular reason. You just can't come there with me.
Okay, I'll follow.
Jeff, you've made a mistake coming up here.
Have I?
Yes, I don't want you here. Don't you understand that? I just don't want you.
Don't you?
No.
Don't you really?
No. Oh, Jeff. Please. Please don't stay here.
I missed you, Ann.
No, no, don't say that.
Can't help it. I've got to.
I won't listen.
Yes, you'll listen. You'll listen to this, too.
No, please.
I love you, Ann.
I didn't hear you.
I love you very much, Ann.
I didn't hear you. I didn't hear...
Ann!
In a moment, we'll continue with The Believers, today's drama on the NBC Radio Theater.
Hello, I'm Madeleine Carroll. Isn't it a wonderful feeling to know winter's cold, dark days are gone and summer with its bright sun is ahead? But I'd like to warn you, that sun can be very drying to your skin, and household chores don't stop with winter either. So smooth in creamy Truchet frequently. Truchet with silicones protects your hands from the ravages of water, weather, and work. Truchet, the lotion for women who can't keep their hands out of water.
Thought alone that the pattern was beginning again. This time with a man I was really in love with. It terrified me. I ran out of Jeff Bauer's sight back to the house. It was no use. Jeff followed me all the way right into the living room to stand face to face with my mother.
Ann, what is the meaning of this?
Well, this,
The name is Jeff Bowers, Mrs. Tilden, and if you have no objections, I'm interested in your daughter.
I certainly do have objections, young man.
Well, since I figured you would, I'll have to fight you.
Please leave the
town. Not physically, of course. I think you'd whip me. But let's fight legend with legend.
If you don't leave, I'll call the police.
That's going to be very awkward since you'll be throwing out your future son-in-law.
Of all the brazen bad men...
Give in to the idea, Mrs. Tilden. Anne has.
Anne is what... This person says true?
Mother, I...
Sir, get out of this house.
Mother, please.
Quiet. If you can't seem to handle him, I can't.
Like you've handled your daughter with all these silly superstitions you've implanted in her?
I demand that you get out of this house and leave my daughter and me alone.
Sorry, Mrs. Tilden. Somebody's got to bring both of you to your senses, and I guess I've elected myself to the job.
How dare you speak to me this way?
It's got to be done for your sake and for Anne's. Now start making some real sense, Mrs. Tilden. Stop intimidating yourself and your daughter with ghosts out of the past who aren't even worth worrying about.
Just who do you think you are? A perfect stranger to come here and speak to me this way.
Right. True enough, I'm a perfect stranger. To you, but not to Anne. I'm in love with her, and she's in love with me.
Are you, Anne? Is this true?
She hasn't told me, but she doesn't have to.
Anne, I'm speaking to you. Anne, answer me. Are you in love with this man?
Oh, Mother.
Answer me.
Mother, I wish you couldn't...
Anne, until you come to your senses and ask this person to leave this house, I will not stay in the same room with him.
Sorry I spoke so roughly to your mother.
No. I'm not sorry that you did.
Oh, Anne, I'm glad you said that.
Oh, I mean it. Yes, I do mean it. Suddenly I feel your strength. Oh, I've needed such strength desperately. I can't fight my mother alone.
I can help you.
I know, and I need your help. More than I've ever needed anything before.
Anne, darling.
Oh, Jeff.
I love you.
I love you, too.
You're not afraid?
Not when I'm in your arms.
But I can't keep my arms around you all the time.
Well, as long as you're with me, near me.
Don't worry about that.
But I am afraid.
No, easy, darling.
Not for myself, I'm afraid for you.
Don't be.
Everything and everyone I've ever loved has died or been destroyed. I don't want that to happen to you.
With me, the spell is broken.
For a little while, just a little while, life was so good. The world became a sane place to live in. Jeff and I took full advantage of the lovely days, the countryside, different quaint restaurants along the many side roads we explored. And one day, toward the end of Jeff's vacation, we just finished lunch in an out-of-the-way place we'd found together. And I suddenly realized the day after the following day was my birthday.
Okay, so it's your birthday. Getting old. 30. Wow.
You see, on that day, I inherit some of the estate. Oh, I'm cold.
Cold?
I just had a chill.
What's wrong, Ann?
Nothing. I just had a chill, that's all.
Anything to do with this inheritance?
The inheritance? In what way?
Well, I don't know. You can be the best judge of that.
What do you mean?
Well, I said I don't know. You know your mother better than I do.
What's that supposed to mean?
Nothing. Look, I think we ought to celebrate your birthday tomorrow.
My birthday isn't until day after tomorrow.
Okay, we'll celebrate tomorrow and the day after tomorrow and the day after...
The day after that, you're due back in the city.
Yeah.
Oh, Jeff.
Yes?
Nothing.
Now, come on, say what you were going to.
Well, I wasn't
going
to say anything.
Well, if you won't, I will. Come back to the city with me.
Oh, my darling, I wish I could.
Why not leave this town, the house, and your mother, and everything will be fine.
How can I be sure?
You'll be married to me. What can be more certain?
When you talk like that, I feel as if anything is possible.
It is, if you want it badly enough.
No, don't put it that way.
But it's true.
Well, I want to be with you badly enough.
To marry me?
Oh, yes.
But... Your mother?
Well, she is my mother.
All right, we won't talk about this anymore just now. How about a picnic tomorrow morning?
Picnic?
I found a good spot, just beautiful.
Oh, I think I'd love it. I haven't been on a picnic. I don't believe I've ever been on a picnic.
Fine. Then with me, it'll be the first time. And the first time for anything you always remember best.
The NBC Radio Theater, starring Celeste Holm, continues in a moment. But first...
Bruce Conway was so handsome, so convincing, so apparently straightforward and honest. How could she have known that she would spend the rest of her life trying to forget the past she shared with him? This is Ed Hurley, your host on My True Story. Tomorrow you'll hear the drama of a girl who is betrayed by her own lack of experience and by a man's deceit. One youthful mistake ended all her bright plans for the future. Close the door to happiness. Only a man possessed of uncommon understanding and strong moral fiber could help her now. You'll hope that Gene Howard is able to find that man as you listen tomorrow to My True Story. My True Story brings you a complete full-hour drama every weekday on NBC. So enjoy My True Story and stay tuned throughout the day for all the other fine programs, the drama, the music, the news, the rich variety of entertainment brought to you every weekday over these NBC stations.
Okay, we're here. Come on, I'll show you a sight. Yep, there you are. Now, just take a look at that.
Oh, Jeff, it's breathtaking.
It really is. What a sight. Look, way over to the north. You see the train?
Like a toy. Like a toy.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful sight.
Marvelous place, Jeff. How did you find
it? Just by accident. I came riding up here the morning after I arrived in town. I guess I was looking for a place I could take you after we got together. Okay, let's eat.
But of course, sir, I've packed enough food for an army.
Well, here I am, and let's get to it, because I'm starved.
I'll just get the basket out of the car.
You need any help?
No, I can handle it.
Can you manage the portable radio, too?
Yes, I think so. Oh, Jeff.
Yes?
It's the car. Jeff, what? The car!
What's the car?
It's moving!
Clear back! She's going over the cliff!
Jeff.
Easy. I'm all right.
Oh. It still follows me. It still follows
me. Ann, quiet. Ann.
It's true. The curse of the children.
Stop it, Ann.
You were almost killed the second time. Oh, Jeff. Jeff, I can't.
Calm yourself, Ann.
Please leave, Jeff. Leave me. Leave me or you'll die. You believe it too, don't you?
Yes, Anne, I think your life will change now.
Yes, Mother.
I think it already has. You're rid of this terrible Jeff Bowers, and it happened just in time.
Yes, Mother.
Perhaps after today, after the lawyers read the will and you inherit part of the estate, perhaps life then will treat you more kindly.
Never again will I leave this house.
That's very wise, my dear. Oh, that must be the lawyers. You.
Where's Ann?
You can't come in here.
I am in, and don't you try to stop me. Ann, you've got to listen to me.
No, Jeff, please go away.
Not until I tell you something.
There's nothing to tell or say or do or anything.
We can never be together, never be married.
Absolute nonsense.
You call nonsense what almost happened to you yesterday?
I do, absolutely. You know what I thought after the car went over the cliff? I thought someone had been trying to kill you, Ann.
Kill me?
What's that?
Yes, 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 because it made sense at the time.
You speak to me about fantastic notions.
Well, it was reasonable. Ann was due today to receive her inheritance. The Tilden family, your ancestors, had a ball with this sort of thing all their lives. How many of your ancestors wiped each other off the map because of circumstances exactly like Anne's?
But who would want to...
Jeff, you can't mean that.
I'm telling you what I thought yesterday after the car went over the cliff, and why it might have seemed to you that I believed your silly superstition.
But who would want to kill my daughter?
You, Mrs. Tilden.
Me?
That's what I thought because of this superstition both of you labor under.
I should want to murder Anne.
I thought somebody had been tampering with the brakes, but I examined the brakes and they hadn't been tampered with.
But to kill my own daughter.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Tilden. I couldn't help thinking.
Oh, no. How could anyone think that? How could anyone?
Mother. Celeste Holmes, starring in today's drama on the NBC Radio Theater, continues in a moment. Forest fire is a terrible thing. It can rob you of lumber, take away your outdoor recreation, ruin your hunting and fishing. It can spoil livestock grazing and turn the faucet off on your supply of water that comes from the forest. Fire is mean and vicious, but it can be stopped. Stopped before it ever starts. And here's what you can do to help. 1, crush out your cigarette, cigar, and pipe ashes. 2, break your matches in two after you use them. That way, you'll be sure they're dead out. 3, drown your campfire with water. Then stir it and drown it again. 4, find out all you can about your local and state laws before you use fire outdoors. Please be careful, folks. It's up to you to keep the forests green and productive. Let's all remember that Smokey Bear says, only you can prevent forest fires. Thank you.
I realize now how foolish it was for me to suspect you, Mrs. Tilden. But under the unexpectedness of the accident, I couldn't help myself knowing what I did about the Tilden family.
That someone should think such a thing about me. Oh, Anne. Anne, my dear Anne.
Don't, Mother. Jeff has apologized.
Yes, I'm sorry, Mrs. Tilden. It was foolish. But no more foolish than what you've been talking yourself into these many years.
But don't you think these fears and superstitions of mine have wrecked my life, too? The curse has been my curse, too.
Yes, I'm sure it has.
Do you think I've liked to bring my own fears to my daughter? Don't you think I would have wanted a normal, sensible life for her instead of stuck away in this miserable house filled with so much death and decay?
If you want to fight against it, you can.
Don't belittle her fears, Jeff. They're very real to my mother.
And to you, too?
Yes.
Now, let me tell you something about Bill Dennis I just found out this morning. Dennis was lucky not to have had his accident long before he met you. He was a bad driver. In fact, if he lived through this accident, he would have been barred from ever having a driver's license because he'd been in so many accidents. So you weren't responsible for his death. Not one bit. He was bound to kill himself anyhow.
And maybe Mr. Bowers is right. Maybe you, too... Maybe you ought to go away from this with him together. Maybe he has the strength to make you forget you ever were a Tilden.
There's no reason for you to stay here either, Mrs. Tilden.
Me?
Yes, you can leave too and forget all this superstitious nonsense.
Oh, no, not I. I'm not. Oh, not for me. For you, perhaps, not for me.
And I say yes, Jeff is right. He can help me just so far. Then the rest is up to me. It's up to us, Mother.
Oh, you don't realize what you're saying.
I've never realized more surely than what I'm saying now. Let's flaunt ourselves right in the face of the curse. Let's all three of us leave for the city right away.
Today?
Right now.
Oh, but we've got to see
the... Can't forget the lawyers. We can write them or call them after we get into the city. And you know how we'll go?
How?
By plane.
Oh, no.
Yes, yes.
Now you're talking, Anne.
We've got to go that way. We've got to prove the curse is dead. We've licked it. We've buried it.
I'm afraid.
We'll gain strength from each other.
I mean, I'm afraid, but I want to go. I want to fly. Yes, yes, Anne. Maybe we can find a way to live again.
Ladies, I guarantee it.
So we flew into the city, and nothing happened. When we got out of the plane, the city was beginning to light up in the late evening. It was almost as if the city were lighting up for us. How clean, how fresh the air is.
Well, that must be the first real breath of fresh air you've had in how many years?
I wouldn't care to remember.
You know, you've got a nice laugh when you laugh.
I think there'll be much to laugh about from now on.
That's the way to talk.
I've been such a fool for so very long.
As a matter of fact, you might even meet a man here. Oh. Someone you might even get to like.
Well, he'll have to measure up to another man I know.
Oh, who?
My son-in-law.
What's that?
You, young man.
Anne, did you hear that?
I heard.
You agree with her?
I'm afraid so.
Well, I can't say I dislike hearing all these flattering things about myself, but we'd better catch ourselves a taxi and get on home.
Home?
Well, I think you'll both stay at my place tonight.
Well, we can go to a hotel.
No, sorry. I've got plenty of room. Tomorrow morning, you and I, Anne, will shop around for a new apartment. Your mother can have the place that I've got now.
Well, there's no need for that.
I insist. You'll find it very comfortable.
Well, I see we're letting you run our lives, so we'll let it go at that.
Good. And you, Anne, we'll get ourselves a real lovely apartment. Big.
Do you know something? I wouldn't care if we lived in a closet.
Well, I would.
Not me. Just as long as it's surrounded by windows and looks out upon this lovely city of living things.
In a moment, we'll be back with a word about tomorrow's drama on the NBC Radio Theater. But first, hear this. Drama. Variety. Monitor. News. Your companions throughout the day on NBC. Drama. Every weekday, the NBC Radio Theater and My True Story, bringing you the true-to-life drama of men and women as they live through a climactic moment in their lives. Variety. Every weekday, it's network time. Music, comedy, a sparkling variety show live from New York. Frank Blair, Don Russell, Skitch Henderson and his band, and famous show business guests star on its network time. Monitor. Going places, doing things every Monday through Friday night, as well as on the weekend. News on the hour, every day throughout the day. Drama, variety, monitor, news. Your companions throughout the day. Over most of these NBC stations. Today's drama, The Believers, was written by Sam Elkin and featured Mason Adams, Vera Allen, and George Petrie. The NBC Radio Theater, starring Eddie Albert, Lee Bowman, Madeline Carroll, Gloria DeHaven, and Celeste Holm, we'll return tomorrow with another gripping complete hour of drama. The NBC Radio Theater is produced and directed by Hyman Brown. This is Wayne Howell speaking.
The NBC Radio Theater from April 29th, 1959. And now to wrap up the hour, a five-minute mystery.
Another five-minute mystery.
Headquarters, Inspector Hoskins speaking.
Police.
Yeah? Yeah, what is it?
Sam Blake speaking, 37 Hudson Way. Come quick, my wife is dead. Gas.
Dead? How long?
I don't know. Just got home.
37 Hudson Way. Okay, be right out. And in the meantime, you better throw open those windows and doors. Hey, Mike, grab your chapeau. We got some calling to do. Mr. Blake?
Yes, Inspector. Come right in.
Thanks. Oh, Mr. Blake, my assistant, Mike Cusky.
Howdy.
Where's the body? You haven't moved her?
No, sir. She's here in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
Right where I found her.
Of course. Well, Mike and I will just have a look.
And there she is, Inspector. Dead as a doornail.
Gassed, all right. You can still smell a little.
It looks like most of the gas came from the oven. The door's still a little open. What's that?
My simple powers of deduction would say it's a bird.
Oh, there it is, a canary. A bird cage in the kitchen, huh?
Yeah, but right now we better get back to Mr. Blake. Now, Mr. Blake, if you don't mind, there are just a few routine questions. I'd like to know exactly what happened.
Well, sir, I just come home from the game tonight. I'm quite a fan, but my wife didn't care much for sports, so I usually went alone. As I was saying, the game was over about 10:20, I should say.
And you came right home?
Yes, sir. I drove and made it home about 11. I thought I smelled something when I tried the door, and the minute it was open, it hit me in the face. Gas all over the place. I rushed in, calling to Jane, and when I went to turn off the jets, I found her there on the floor, dead.
I see.
Of course, I knew she was gone when I found her. First thing I could think of was to call the police.
Your wife has obviously been dead since about 10. Mr. Blake, if you don't mind my asking, just what happened in the last few seconds of play at the game?
Why, Zakowitz fumbled and Tarleton recovered for an 80-yard touchdown run. Look here, Inspector. What are you driving at?
Just that in case this shouldn't be suicide, I wanted to know if you could back up your alibi.
Not suicide? What are you driving at, boss?
Yes, Inspector. What are you driving at?
Just this, Mr. Blake. I arrest you for the murder of your wife.
What did Mr. Blake overlook? Do you know the clue? In a moment, we'll hear firsthand from the inspector. But first... of deduction are the same as the inspector's.
You can't arrest me. I was at the game till 10:20. I proved it. And you said yourself my wife died 20 minutes before.
I haven't forgotten the powers of radio, Mr. Blake. But there are a few things you did forget. First of all, if you wanted to kill your wife and then make it look like she was overcome by gas, it might have helped if you'd turned on enough gas. Your wife was dead from another cause, the source of which will be found in an autopsy before the gas jet was even opened. The thing you forgot, Mr. Blake, is that canaries are quite as susceptible to gas as human beings. If there had been enough gas in that kitchen to kill a woman, a small bird certainly could not have survived. And your singing canary is still alive, Mr. Blake. Very much alive.
An episode of 5 Minute Mysteries. The series ran on Mutual from August of 1947 through March of 1950. We don't have specific dates for these transcriptions, but that episode was entitled A Case of Oversight. And that will wrap it up for this hour of the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. It's been a pleasure. I look forward to your company again soon for more sounds from the golden age of radio. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.